Welcome to God in the Picture with Zibuse Elgunene. Again, this week I am not alone, but I am with two of my friends that you enjoyed the conversation that we had last week together in your presence. Now, we are continuing with part two as we did promise, and we are going to pick up from where we left off. And before we were cut off because of time, what we were touching on was the roles that our fathers played and the limitations that they had. And the thing about limitations with us as human beings is that we think that somebody else must be everything to us. That they must play all the roles, that they must be perfect. When we are married, we expect our spouses to do that for us. When we're in relationships, we expect this person to do everything for us. But in reality, that's not how it works. And God constantly shows us that I'll give you a biological father who will contribute to your coming into this earth. But that biological father is limited. And in his limitation, I want you to find me. Right?
100%, yeah.
I want you to find me. And when you find me, you will learn what being a father is about. And I've often seen that when you look at God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son, if we ever need to know our roles in life, as a male, if you want to know how to be as a husband, you look at Jesus, because the Bible tells us that he's the groom and we, the church, are his bride. And then Jesus talks about God, the Father, as his Father. And God says, I am the Father to the fatherless. Your thoughts, Jez?
I can 100% testify that I am the father to the fatherless, because in times of sadness, immense disappointment, obviously, by my biological father in places in which it's not his own doing, I feel like that's the purpose God put him there for. Wherever he was lacking, some way, somehow, thinking about it, even during the song, even during your introduction and how you were speaking about what we were speaking about last week, it just all connected to dots that whenever I was missing a biological father, he was always there. As we speak now, I'm literally trying to find one place where my biological father wasn't necessarily present, and he wasn't as well. And I'm struggling to do that. So I can testify 100% to him being the father of the fatherless, because for the people who know me personally, and also I touched on to this with Stephen, every time I reach an achievement, whether it be career-wise or even here at the radio station, I look at a more... Okay, what's next? This is done. What's next?
Yeah.
So there's always been a point where I have to pause and say, no. I hear this voice at the back of my head saying, well done. Before we move on, soak it in.
Yes.
Soak it in, son. Well done.
Your experience, Stephen?
Of God being the father.
Yeah. And especially where he stepped in when you needed a father.
Yeah. I've seen him as a very disciplining person until this point.
I 100% agree. The character development has not been nice. it has not been nice at all.
And with all the role players involved, I think they've served the role of setting something within me that's not naturally there. Like I'm a very sporadic person, unfortunately, and I like my freedom, and I like my personal opinion and those kinds of things. Not that I would express it often, but I do when I think about something, or when I make a decision about something, like within myself, it takes a lot to disprove it. Not that I want to be stubborn, but it's more like, okay, well, let's go through the proof, and let's go through the logic behind it, and let's like try to figure that out. And I think someone spoke to me the other day about submission and how, what that entails. Hmm. It's a very long journey to submission, sometimes I'd say, and I think there's a lot inside that. But yeah, my journey has been a lot of that disciplining. But it's also been a journey of being able to find the love in that process.
Ah, the love.
Yeah. Because, I mean, how do we, and I think this is maybe one of the things that the world struggles with too, is how being a man is not oppressive. Being a man, someone who disciplines, someone who protects, someone who sets boundaries and limitations, as you mentioned earlier, the word limitations, and how one sets boundaries and how that's done in love.
Mm.
And how that is a form of love.
Mm.
I mean, children, it's proven that children without rules, they actually are scared and they're anxious. And they have a lot more negative emotion because there's no boundaries, there's no safety, there's no thing to keep them in place. And I think once those boundaries are set, once those limitations are set, that's what creates safety. And that's what creates functionality. And it's not in a bad sense that is. I mean, that's how the world works. So that for me, finding out how that can be in a form of love has been my process and how God has revealed himself to me. Initially, for me, it was a very, the onset of my faith again was a very supernatural thing. Like I was broken, like many things were broken off me. I had addictions that were broken off, all these different things that were broken off. And I expressed God's love immensely. But then when it came to the application of that and how the world works and my place in the world, that has been a very molding process, trying to make me into the man who can be a man, make me into a man. And I think that took a lot of disciplining. So that's how I've seen God. Well, not seen God, but that's how I've experienced him the most as a father up until this point. And I can see the pattern with every single role player of a father that I've had in the past.
Yeah.
They're not comforting men, bro. They are very, very strong men. And it's like, dude, no, I don't want this. I don't want it. But that's just what it is.
But could it be that God is leading you to seeing what it's like to be a strong man? And also saying, as much as you may not like it, but this is what it looks like.
Mm.
You may not become it, but if you do become it, you will become a kinder, a more gentle, and a more loving. And you'll display the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your being a strong man.
Yeah, and it's like the foundations of a strong man are being embedded.
Yes.
And maybe this is something else that is also condemned in the world, is being someone who is strong. Because that, again, is seen as being oppressive. It's seen as
being... And toxic masculinity.
Most oftentimes it's seen as being a toxic man. Setting boundaries, especially setting boundaries in today's day and age is known as being toxic, because why set boundaries? I want to be free. I want to be what? I want to be independent. I want to be... So what I feel like God is also implementing in you, Stephen, is... how to be harsh in order to show love. That's why you have so many of these strong men just being tossed at you at such high velocities. And he's just, I feel like he's just showing you that, listen, sometimes in order to be soft, you need to be hard.
Look at it this way. Okay, come in.
There's two things that I can see in that. One of them would be that it's okay for a man to be a man, right? It is okay for a man to and many people have parts of themselves that are suppressed because it's not accepted.
That is so true.
So the natural part of your manlyhood, and not not to say that every man is that. I'm very interested in the personality types. You get very strong, dominant kinds of people. Those are called the cholerics.
Mm.
Then you get very influential people, very vibrant, open, energetic, all that kind of stuff. You call those the sanguines. And you get the different. Then you get the phlegmatics. Then you get the people who are more background. They're more relaxed, more peaceful, more calm. They wouldn't ever raise their voice and those kinds of things.
Mm.
And then you get the more melancholy, which are the more thoughtful, the more precise, the more structured, right? But it's within a man, there there can be a point where there is a form of firmness, or there can be something that comes out that is not as acceptable in the world. And I think it gives us a freedom to know, like, listen, in your manlyhood, there is freedom to be strong. There is freedom to be able to protect. You can't be meek and mild, look upon this little child to protect.
And to also be authoritative.
And I feel like that's what society is trying to dim it down somehow. Mm. And it's such a godly thing, because also godly. Jesus Christ himself wasn't taken for granted. He saw people selling in his father's house and he wrecked the place. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. So there is a certain part of being a male that needs to show and kind of project dominance and sternness to nobility. And when society just projects this, no, let a man be soft, let a man be quiet. Yes, to a certain extent. Yeah. The majority or the foundation of that needs to be still masculinity. This thing of being soft, I'm going like really deep into now, because I'm really passionate. I'm really passionate. Look, about
you are a color Christian.
100%. Because I don't get this men today. Because that's why women are still searching for godly men.
Yeah.
The key word there is godly men.
Yeah.
God himself wrecked a place when he saw his father was being disrespected.
Yeah.
So now, if me personally, I'm being disrespected, you are expecting me to be soft about it?
And knowing God, once again, you know, if we know God, we know who we are. Knowing that God has the ability to have that sternness and that firmness, we will relate to that, and God will show us what that is within ourselves in relation to who we are.
Mm.
So we don't all express it the same, right? And the person who is more calm, he'll be able to see that sternness in God and be like, okay, cool, there is a form of sternness there, and I have experienced that sternness. So it's okay. And this is the second part that it brings back to me is how what we submit to is, or like what we support is what we allow within ourselves as well. So say, for instance, there's people in your environment who are succeeding, they are growing, they're progressing in life.
100%.
If you're against that and you're more jealous towards that, and you say, no, that shouldn't be happening, no, they got there somehow unfairly, or you know, you try and make excuses for it, you're actually not allowing that within your own life.
Mm. Yeah.
There's
something I wanted to bring here when we're talking about being strong, being firm, but also being authoritative. Now, I always marvel at how John 3:16 speaks about how God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son. But that defines us what love does. Love gives.
Hmm.
So when somebody says they love you, but they're not giving, then you know there's a flaw.
Hmm.
But nonetheless, God gives his only begotten son.
Hmm.
The son could have come and lived among us and just said, I'm going to teach you how to get back to the father. But the son realized that the only way to reconcile people back to God for all eternity is for me to shed my blood, because the pattern had already been set.
Mm.
That I need to shed blood for the remission of sin. And me doing it now sets it forevermore. That anyone who says, I am their Lord and Savior, then they are in me.
Mm.
And therefore they've received the salvation. But then we go back to the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah in chapter 53, verse 10, he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. So the Lord has put him, Jesus, to grief. So he says, when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. So what basically God did is, it's going to please me to bruise you, but the bruising is not in vain.
Mm.
And now, when we get bruised or when we bruise others, why are we doing it?
Mm. That is,
absolutely.
Mm. When I'm also thinking right now that the person listening here they're thinking, but guys, where is this all going? And I'm thinking, if you're a young man and you're listening and you're thinking, but my life is gone, my life is lost. Sometimes I have the context that I look at where I am and I think, oh, time is gone. But then I look at somebody who's 85. And then for me, context comes into play that a child could be born now. There would be a fully grown adult by the time I am that 85 years old.
Yeah. Mm.
So that gives me context. So if you're a younger person than myself and you say your life is gone, what's happened? You know? Mm. And that's where God comes in. And I love the fact that both of you have said that in the shortfalls that we've seen. And to be honest, my life turned around after my father died. Mm. I knew he loved me, but I don't remember him saying he loves me. I knew he loved me, but I don't remember his heart.
So you received that love without having him even saying it.
Or affirm it.
Does that mean he acted it out? Does that mean he stood for love?
When I was growing up, it was just, my dad is here, my dad is here. But it was long after he was gone where I would reflect on the things that we did, the trips we would take, the things that he would teach me. And I realized, okay, that was his way of showing me he loves me.
Sure.
And one of the things that I remember is I was looking back and thinking, I've never had his hug. But now I've started correcting that through my son. We hug. I don't know how many times a week we hug, but we hug.
Yeah. That's good.
Right?
Embrace.
Exactly. And I'm thinking now, if you are here today and you've had this relationship with God, what does it say to you in terms of your future, especially with God?
Wow. Oh, mic drop.
Truly.
Well, what I think my future with God is that I can anticipate hardships, but given hardships by Him, because it is written that He will never allow something to happen that you can't handle and will never allow anything to happen that will harm you, that he will not allow it to commit. So I can expect hardships, but the one thing I can be 100% certain of is that through those hardships, He will be there. I personally, during those hardships, might not witness His presence at that moment because I'm a human. I'll be in my feelings and say, oh, Father, where are you? And whatever. But He's 100% with me. So my walk with God, what I can say proudly and with 100% assurance is that, yes, this journey is going to come with a lot of hardships, maybe some heartbreaks, 100% of disappointment, divided by sadness, times depression. But through all of that, that entire mathematical...
Well said, by the way.
That entire mathematical equation,
yeah,
there is one constant, and that constant is His presence and His love.
Definitely. Stephen?
Absolutely. Thanks for going first, by the way. I had time to think.
No, that was literally a mic drop moment. We were all just like...
Let me rethink life for a bit. Zibuse, by the way, man, thanks for also displaying such a good example for us.
Yeah, 100%.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. Every single time I see you, you are very encompassing. You are very embracing. Yeah. For myself, with the amount of grace that I've received in my life, and with the kind of things that have that He's done in me. Or how there have been situations in my life for myself that have been really like difficult to go through, but He's always caught me. He's never let me fall. He's never let me utterly fall. And I'll be honest and say that there are people who I've seen are in very bad situations, and it's almost like, Lord, how did you let them get there? And it's and to me it's a slight it's now just a journey of trust. Like I'm just gonna have to trust you. There's a song by Stephen Stanley. I guess I'm gonna have to trust you.
Yeah.
Right. And but knowing so far from what I've seen in my own life, there's always been a catching. There's always been, as long as I just trust him, he always just catches. So there's a grace to progress into somewhere. And the catching and then also the development means that I'll be able to, I hopefully will be someone who can be someone of nurturing, someone of, someone who develops others. That's truly what I want to do one day. I want to develop people, but I won't be able to right now because I'm very far from being able to do that. So with him developing me through all these people, I'm like, okay, well, let me take on the development. Let me embrace the development. And hopefully one day I'll be in the position as well to be able to do that and be able to display the love that I've received from God and that I feel from him.
You know the thing about God, he doesn't wait for you to be a complete project.
Mm.
That I've done this and now it's complete. No. Yeah. While you are in the process, he then brings someone in your life. And the funny thing about God is he won't only bring someone younger than yourself. He may not necessarily bring your peers. He may even bring somebody older than you. And through the Holy Spirit working in you, then he allows you to lead that person into their own area of development, into their own areas of growth. And that's the beauty of God, that you can never predict him.
That's crazy.
Mm.
You know, if you think about suffering, look at what he did with Job.
Oh, yeah.
The book of Job opens verse 1. It tells us, the Bible itself tells us that Job was a perfect and upright man.
Yeah.
And then later on in the same chapter, God says to Satan, have you seen my servant Job? He's perfect.
Sure.
And yet, Job went through the things that he went through. He lost 10 children in one day.
Can you imagine?
He lost
10 different relationships. And being a perfect father.
And being a perfect father to all. And establishing
that relationship.
Caring relationship. Oh. Like, this is my son/daughter.
Yeah.
And I love you. Daddy, gone.
Gone.
And mind you, they were not like little bambinos. They were grown because they were in one of their brother's house gathering.
Wow.
So adult children gone.
By the time they've developed a life for themselves, you've got pride for each and every single one of them. You see them.
You're expecting grandkids, not death.
Guys.
10 gone one day. Servants who were looking after the livestock gone. Same day.
Mm.
All his wealth gone.
Yeah.
One day. One day, because God allowed it, because he trusted Job.
You're
stronger and than then, me.
But that's not all. That's not all, KG. Then Satan comes back for round two. He's like, nah, God, you protected this guy. Just remove this hedge of protection. Remove this second layer. Let me get to his flesh.
Yo.
He'll curse you. And then God says, okay. Go, but don't touch his life. Dude goes through the most.
The absolute most.
But God, and back to you, KG, God is always there. He's watching.
Mm.
He's supervising Satan torment Job.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
But in the end, God gives him double the wealth that he had initially.
Mm.
But also, after holding him to account, from Job 38, God says, stand up. Let me come here. You will answer me like a man.
This is the part of the story I actually like. the doubling of everything that you have lost. And in that moment, I'm sure Job was sitting like, why are you doing this to me, Father? I've been nothing but good to you.
Yeah. Gents, we don't have enough time. I want us to bring some closing thoughts on this conversation about being a young man today, but also focusing on what has it been like to navigate being a young man with God by your side?
It has been very, very difficult, especially from outside influences. There's a lot of outside influences that will influence you to leave this foundation that has been set by your family, been set by your mother, your father, that in this house we will praise the one only true God. It has been very difficult. So the young man listening right now, you are going to face trials and tribulations. You are going to stumble. You are going to fall. You are going to trip. I am not ensuring a marshmallow ride. God does not do marshmallow rides.
Boom! Stephen. Let's drop the mic on Khotatso because that was just... Yeah.
God does not do marshmallow rides.
Yeah.
He does not do s'mores.
Doesn't create them either.
No.
Which means you are strong enough to go through every single one of your situations. Even if things are perceived as impossible or excruciatingly unjust or unfair or hopeless, many people feel abandoned. There's a big spirit of abandonment in the world. Men are feeling abandoned. Even Christians are feeling abandoned by God. And there's almost an overarching theme of evil that has overcome. Like a hopelessness that has overcome and people are feeling abandoned. And that supervision that you mentioned, I think, is such an important aspect to remember that God is still there. And the continual trust in Him will produce in you something that cannot be achieved anywhere else. The trusting of Him is going to take you somewhere else. And there is an end goal, and there is something still coming. And that there's a reason that you know Him as you do. So, yeah, man. I look, as I say, like, I don't have any clear answers myself yet, but I know that God is still, He's still working. And that we can always trust in that. We can always trust the fact that God is still doing something, and that there's a reason behind all of it.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel, and that light's name is Jesus Christ. So keep going, dude. Keep going.
Amen. Thank you, friend, for tuning in. I hope this gave you some direction as to what to do in your life, but I do pray that you indeed turn to the one and only, the source, the one and only who will always be there for you. He has always been there for you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and He knows you, and He will always know you. It doesn't matter what you know about yourself. God is always there. God always knows you. He cares about you. He will be there for you when your parents are not there. He will be there for you even when the world turns against you. Trust Him. It's not going to be an easy journey. That's one thing we promise you, but trust Him. No matter what happens in your life, trust God. Rely on God. Lean on God fully. Caleb said, I have trusted God these 45 years, and He has fulfilled His promise. I'm not saying that God will take 45 years, but eventually, God knows what He's doing.